Will you pray with me, please? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was about 11 or 12 years old, I got my first job that wasn't working for my parents. I was offered a job in our local youth sports league as a game clock operator, and I still remember what it was like to get my first paycheck. I had worked 10 basketball games over two Saturdays, and in the mail, there came a check with my name on it in the amount of $22.50, and I was rich. Just about all of us can recall our first job. Not just the work or the setting, but when we discovered that there is a relationship between our time and effort and rewards. Most of us, I think hopefully all of us, teach our children that there is dignity and value and even joy in work. There is something satisfying about an honest day's labor for an honest day's pay. That's a value that I think for most of us is deeply ingrained from a very early age, and it gets constantly reinforced regularly by the marketplaces in which we live and move and have our being. And so all of that then makes this story before us this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, in which Jesus teaches his disciples using a parable about laborers in a certain vineyard, all the more troubling. So if you've been worshiping with us this winter, and you know that we have been reading and preaching our way through the Gospel according to Matthew, and we've been following along as Jesus has been traveling from village to village, teaching and preaching and healing along the way, and we noted 2 weeks ago that there has been a change in destination. This train is bound for Jerusalem. And already Jesus has spoken openly with his disciples about what is to come when they arrive there. Namely, that he will be handed over and be killed, and 3 days later be raised again. And so as they're making their way toward Jerusalem, Jesus has been teaching his disciples in parables. Now remember, a parable is a short story using everyday objects meant to illustrate a larger truth. And so today, as the journey toward Jerusalem continues, Jesus teaches his disciples a parable about laborers, workers in a certain vineyard. So listen now for a word from God from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at chapter 20 in the first verse. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When the landowner went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And the landowner said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, I really do think all of us have a deeply ingrained understanding of the relationship between effort and reward. We learn that from an early age, but this parable does not follow that logic at all. Those who were hired at the end of the day who worked 1 hour get the same wages as those who were hired at dawn, but I don't know about you, but at first read it makes me anxious, if not a little upset. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I imagine you may be feeling the same way. But before we dismiss this outright, let's take note of some of the details. Most parables begin with an ordinary scene. That's the setup. And in this case, this scene plays out every day in every economy throughout history, including right here in Athens today. There is a need for labor, and there is a need for wages, and a marketplace exists where supply and demand meet. Even right here in Athens, if you go over to the Home Depot over there off of Epsbridge Road, you will see a marketplace exists where labor and laborers meet. And so the landowner who needs labor goes to the marketplace and he finds laborers in need of wages, and a bargain is struck. A deal is made, a day's labor for a day's pay. And that scene plays out all over the world. But then things in this parable become strange. The landowner returns to the marketplace a few hours later, and he discovers there's still a supply of workers. And so he makes them an offer, although note that it's slightly modified from the offer made to those hired at dawn. He says, "Go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." And the pattern repeats itself. The landowner goes at noon and again at 3, and in each case, the landowner promises to pay whatever is right. And then at 5, at the end of the day, the landowner returns to the marketplace and discovers still more laborers in need of wages. And incredulous, the landowner says to these, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And they answer with the obvious truth: "Because no one has hired us." And the landowner says, "You also go into the vineyard." And note, there's no conversation here about pay rate with these folks who are still looking so late in the day. The landowner says, "Go," and so they go. And so we might have some questions. What sort of negotiation is this? Even at the last hour, they should have agreed, at least in principle, about the pay rate. Maybe these last were not very smart. Maybe they were naive. Or maybe these who were left at the end of the day knew from their own long, painful experience that they were in no position to offer a bargain. "Why are you standing here?" "Because no one has hired us." See, I think a lot of us learn a lesson on the playground as children. We're going to play a game, whatever the game is, and we're going to choose upsides. Who gets picked first? I'll tell you, it's the kid who's 6'4" at age 14. The biggest, the strongest, the fastest always get picked first. And who gets picked last? Smallest, slowest, weakest. It's just how it is in the marketplace, and we all learn to play by those rules. So maybe these last didn't negotiate because they knew they were lucky to be offered any work at all. Maybe they didn't negotiate because being paid whatever the landowner deemed was right was better than not being paid at all and therefore going hungry. And so daylight's almost gone, and the time came to settle up with the workers. And the landowner, again, the parable's strange. He gives instructions for payday for everyone to line up in reverse order of the time they had been hired. And those who had been hired at the 11th hour, the kids who always got picked last, the weakest, the slowest, the most infirm, they lined up first. And then at 3, and then at noon, and then at 9, and so on. And at the end of the line were the ones with the strongest backs and the biggest muscles. The ones who had the most obvious natural competitive advantage. And then the manager began to dole out pay. Now, put yourself in the group that was hired at 5. Can you imagine their delight, their surprise, their barely contained joy? These for whom the marketplace had said were not worthy. Those who hadn't even bothered to ask about the pay because they were so glad to have work at all, when they received not an hour's pay, but a full day's wage. There is value and dignity that comes with work. I wonder how long these last have been unemployed. I wonder how long it had been since they had received any wages at all. Imagine their surprise and delight and joy when they discovered the generosity of the landowner, gifts for which they did not ask and which they did not earn. So down at the other end of the pay line, those who had been hired by dawn's early light, those who had agreed for a day's labor, for a day's wages, they saw what transpired with those who had worked at the 11th hour, and they made the assumption that they would receive more than what they had originally agreed upon. And friends, I got to tell you, I don't think that's an unreasonable assumption. If you use the logic that we all learn, that there's a relationship between effort and reward. If you use the logic that we all learn that over time the market will naturally select those who can give the most effort and produce the most value for the employer will get rewarded the most, so we all must learn to compete if we desire to have wages. We learn those laws well, and we live by them and teach them to our children. But again, this parable of Jesus keeps pushing our assumptions. And the landowner blatantly and on purpose defies the laws of the marketplace. Those who are at a competitive disadvantage, those who have been deemed naturally selected not to go into the vineyard, nevertheless receive a full day's wage. And when it comes time for payday, those whom the market has said should be last are first in line. In this parable, the laws of the marketplace are turned upside down. And those who had been hired, well, they rejoice. And those who had been hired first, well, they're not happy. And I imagine some of you are still not happy listening to this story. But listen to their complaint. Because they're not upset about their pay rate. They're not. Their assumption proved incorrect, but that's not what they're upset about. They tell on themselves by their words. Listen, these last, you have made equal to us. These last, you have made equal to us. Now, to be sure, the landowner did not cheat anybody. The offer was a day's wage for a day's work, and that's what has been done and satisfied. The complaint of those hired first is that the landowner has not taken note of the rules of the marketplace, and consequently, in their own words, you have made them equal to us. But this is not a parable about the marketplace. This is a parable about the kingdom of heaven. And according to Jesus, in the kingdom of heaven, the landowner's chief concern is not production. It's not. In the kingdom of heaven, the landowner's chief concern is the well-being of the people, especially those whom the marketplace has deemed unworthy of entry into his vineyard. See, in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus seems to say, people are valued, people have dignity, people have worth, not because of what they can do, not because of what they can produce, not because of any natural competitive advantage they possess, but people are valued simply because they are. In the kingdom of heaven, there is grace and mercy and joy and surprise and delight because the landowner is foolishly generous. In the kingdom of heaven, everyone gets paid, which means everyone eats, both those at the front of the line and those at the end of the line. In the kingdom of heaven, there's enough bread to go around for those hired at dawn and those hired at dusk. Those who were hired at dawn, they grumble against the landowner and they tell on themselves. They say, you have made them equal to us. And the landowner says, yes, I have. Yes, I have. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Thanks be to God, friends, the kingdom of heaven is not subject to the rules of the marketplace. Thanks be to God, the kingdom of heaven is governed by a foolishly generous landowner. But let's talk about you for a minute. My friend, God is crazy about you. God's love for you is wider and deeper and broader and stronger than you or I could ever imagine. And I imagine you're wondering, if I were in the marketplace, would I be a dawn person or a dusk person? Whether you are someone who got hired at dawn or at dusk or somewhere in between, you, my friend, are worthy of the vineyard. You are worthy of the vineyard not because of what you can produce. You are worthy of the vineyard. You are cherished and loved and valued not because of anything you've accomplished, not because of anything you've said or not said or done or not done. You are worthy of the vineyard because the foolishly extravagant landowner has declared it to be so. But the thing is, none of us ever find ourselves in the marketplace or the vineyard alone. We take note of the workers around us. And it is our natural human tendency, a tendency developed over thousands of years of human history, to learn how to instantly take account of our fellow laborers. It's something we developed over a long period of time from back in the days when we lived in caves and had stone tools, and we had to learn how to take an account of our neighbor because the survival of ourselves and our families depended on our ability to make a snap judgment. So without being conscious of it, that's still in our DNA. When we encounter another human being, whether we encounter them in the marketplace or the vineyard or the classroom or the office, or the grocery store, or the church, we immediately observe all kinds of things. We observe their age, their clothes, their body size and shape, the color of their skin, texture of the hair, shape of the eyes, list goes on. And without even thinking about it, we mentally apply the laws of the marketplace to those categories. We decide for ourselves whether this worker is a dawn person or a dusk person or a no way ever person. And if we're honest with ourselves, we decide for ourselves who should be first and who should be last. Because the market has taught us to do that from time immemorial. And along comes Jesus teaching this parable about the kingdom of heaven that messes with all of our notions about who's deserving of the vineyard and who's not. It's not lost on me. I hope it's not lost on you that Jesus is teaching all of this while he's marching toward Jerusalem. And I imagine Peter still back there saying, "Jesus, easy. You're going to get yourself killed talking like this." Challenging the logic of the marketplace, challenging our human assumptions about who's worthy and who's not, who's on top and who's on bottom. Jesus is going to go to Jerusalem and get himself killed. And 3 days later, he's going to be raised again. And Jesus invites us to come to his table. At his table, all are welcome, regardless of whether they arrived at dusk or at dawn. At his table, all receive this day their daily bread, regardless of ability or effort. At this table, all are welcomed and fed by the generous landowner, and then we are sent out to feed and to serve and to practice foolish generosity in his name. See, Jesus invites us to his table. And his table, we receive a foretaste, a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven, where there is work and dignity and bread and wine enough for everyone. Thanks be to God. Amen.